Next case is 04273, Federated Department Stores versus Thomas Zeno, Bill Wilkins, Tax Commissioner. Perrin.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, the issue in this case is whether the tax commissioner's use of the value stated in Federated's certified balance sheet, which was included in its 1991 annual report and 10K issued to its shareholders and filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission, in determining Federated's franchise tax liability under the net worth basis for the 1993 franchise tax year was clearly erroneous and unlawful.
Is your argument more of an estoppel argument? Because the evidence seems pretty clear that the actual bankruptcy emergence happened on the 4th. So it seems to me you're making more of an estoppel argument that because they put it in these reports and put the date as the 1st, they're now somehow estopped from claiming the 4th.
No, Justice Stratton, it's not an estoppel argument. I think the evidence is in the statements of both management and the independent auditors in the annual report in 10K that Federated filed. A contemporaneous filing shortly after the company emerged from bankruptcy. What we have on the other side, the only evidence, and in those statements, they're repeated and unequivocal that Federated adopted Fresh Start Accounting as of February 1st, 1992. The only evidence to the contrary are oral statements by two Federated witnesses at a tax proceeding in which they were trying to avoid a very significant tax liability. Neither of the witnesses provided any documentation to support their statements, nor could they point to any statements in the annual report in 10K that suggested that Fresh Start reporting was not adopted until February 4th, 1991, or excuse me, 1992. So we believe that the board erred by failing to accord the commissioner's determination based on those unequivocal statements, the proper standard or the proper deference under the standard of review the board's required to apply in appeals from the determinations of the tax commissioner.
Counsel, in the appellee's brief, there's discussion of the 94 annual report. What did they do? Was there something in the 94 annual report that redid the 92 annual report?
I'm sorry, Justice Pfeiffer, I don't recall any reference. Well, the only the annual report and 10K returns or filings we have in the record are the 91 one, which covers the right period at issue, and the subsequent one, the one filed for the year ended January 1, 1993.
Right.
That second report repeats of the statements made in the first report.
Is there's a long discussion by somebody of the generally accepted accounting principles that requires you if there's I think this is their argument, that if there's a material change between the date of the report and the date that in other words, the annual report that goes out to all the shareholders or is made public, and the release date of it, that you're supposed to reflect that. And so if I understand their argument, because they knew that on the 4th they would have a positive balance sheet, they put it in the report as the 1st. Is that their argument?
Well, I'm not certain that that's their only argument. One thing they relied on was this accounting pronouncement, AU Section 560.
Yeah.
But
is there any footnote in the annual report that reflects that?
There is nothing in the annual report to support that argument. In fact, the annual report treated the Fresh Start reporting is directly contrary to the argument
right
they made.
And I think the principle they cite talks about the annual report. It doesn't say anything about the 10K that you file with the SEC.
Well, the annual report is part of the, it's the annual report in 10K that, yeah. that you file. It includes your certified financial statements, your independent auditor's report, and your management, your statement of management.
And there was, on that annual report, some independent auditor, which one signed that as saying that's a true and accurate reflection of the conditions?
KPMG, is my recollection, was the independent auditor.
Their signature is on the annual report that this is a true and accurate reflection of the condition of the company on the date set forth in the annual report.
That's correct. In fact, the statement of the independent auditor was that in their opinion, the consolidated financial statements, which includes the certified balance sheet, presented fairly in all material respects the financial position of Federated Department Stores at February 1, 1992. It goes on to state that the company accounted for the reorganization as of February 1st, 1992, and adopted Fresh Start reporting. That statement is by the independent auditors in conjunction and consultation with Federated Management, who are aware of all the circumstances surrounding the bankruptcy proceedings.
Okay, was there anything offered either in oral testimony or in writing from that accounting firm at the hearing?
There was certainly
To refute that, to say we were wrong or that was inaccurate.
There were certainly no documents that stated that there was an error in that, no documents that reflected any adjustment to the financial statements to say, oh, that shouldn't have been reflected on that report.
Did anybody authorized to speak for the accounting firm show up at the hearing and recant?
There was a witness who had been a member of the accounting team with KPMG who simply said, that's not really what they wanted to say, but he couldn't point to one statement or any language in the annual report in 10K that supported assertions that what they really meant to say was February 4th, not February 1st. You cannot find anything in that annual report in 10K.
Well, I thought there was evidence, though, before the board that the Fresh Start reporting actually started on February 4th, regardless of what the report said. I thought wasn't there evidence of that?
Well, other than oral statements of Federated employees.
I thought there was an independent auditor that testified to that, no?
I'm other than an independent? There were.
I thought there was evidence from an independent person that the Fresh Start reporting didn't actually begin until February 4th.
Well, that's what he stated.
Yeah.
But we have these statements of the independent auditors in this report. The first time they make that statement is when they're litigating a franchise tax case. It's not in the annual report for this year or the next year.
It's a matter of credibility.
I think it's more than that, Your Honor. The board is required to uphold the findings of the commissioner unless the evidence shows that finding was clearly unreasonable or unlawful. Where we have statements in a document filed with the SEC, issued to its stockholders, which state unequivocally that they adopted Fresh Start accounting as of February 1st, 1992, and the financial statements, the income statement, and the balance sheet all reflect the adjustments based on Fresh Start accounting. Everybody they sent these reports to saw these balance sheet figures, which showed the Fresh Start adjustments.
How did the tax commissioner deal with the fact that the bankruptcy itself, the emergence from bankruptcy, took place on February 4th, and that the plan was approved on that date? Wasn't that the date on which Fresh Start reporting could actually take effect?
Well, actually, the bankruptcy plan was confirmed on January 10th of 1992. The final order of emergence was February 4th, 1992.
And how did the tax commissioner deal with that?
Well, the accounting principle, the statement of position 90.7, doesn't say you can't adopt fresh start reporting until the emergence. What it says is, as of the date the plan's confirmed or such later date, when all material conditions precedent to the plan becoming binding are resolved, those could be resolved prior to the actual date of emergence. And in fact, the independent auditors, in the notes to the financial statement, they stated, as of February 1st, 1992, in accordance with AICPA statement 90.7, the company adopted fresh start reporting and reported the effects on their financial statements. The independent auditors certainly know what's required by that accounting statement, and they determined, based on their knowledge of the facts surrounding the bankruptcy, that it was proper to adopt fresh start reporting as of February 1st, 1992.
But you've cited a second portion to the order, you know, saying that material conditions have to be met, and I thought there was some clear testimony that some of those material conditions weren't met until the 4th.
If you read the testimony, they never used the terms of SOP 90.7. They said they didn't occur yet. They weren't finalized yet. But that's not what this principle requires. The conditions simply have to be resolved. Things can be resolved before you finally sign all of the documents. And Professor Newton admitted that you could have a resolution prior to the time you actually sign the documents. We have the independent auditors who reviewed. They were contemporaneous determinations made after, right around the time of the bankruptcy, and they said, the conditions of 90.7 have been met as of February 1st, 1992. The first time we hear anything about, they weren't really met until, or they weren't resolved until February 4th, is when they're seeking a lower franchise tax liability.
So, counsel, your position is the confirmation occurred in January. The finalization with the bankruptcy court, final dotting of I's and crossing of T's occurred on the 4th of February, but that their accounting firm, very professional firm, made a decision that we're going to reflect fresh start as of February 1st, and that was allowed under the generally accepted accounting principles, given the status of where they were in this bankruptcy, even though there were a couple of things left to be done, and the final release to be executed, it was an acceptable accounting principle to reflect fresh start on February 1st, and that management and in conjunction with their certified accounting firm made a conscious decision to do that.
That's correct.
And then it is your theory and what you're asserting is that later when they discovered that instead of paying $50, they'd have to pay
$2.5 million.
$3.5 million?
Two and a half million. Plus interest.
They went back and looked and said, we really hadn't finalized this, so we really meant to do this fresh start on the 3rd or the 4th because that, even though we said we did it, so essentially, your view of this is, and your view of the evidence confirms this, is that their intent was to have it be February 1st at the time, and that was allowed, that wasn't a violation of any law or accounting principle.
And that's what they did. If you look at the balance sheet and the income statement, that's what they did. Those statements as of February 1st, 1992, reflected those adjustments based on fresh start accounting. Under the principle you had mentioned before, that AU 560, if in fact fresh start reporting did not occur until after February 1st, it would have been inappropriate to adjust the balance sheet to reflect fresh start accounting. They did it which again supports the idea that they believed it was an event that occurred as of February 1st, 1992. And Justice Pfeiffer, what I'm really asserting, there might be some debate. What evidence do you believe? But under the standard of review, the commissioner's finding, that is that they adopted it as of February 1st, 1992, is not to be reversed by the board unless it has been established that that determination is clearly unreasonable or unlawful. Given the statements, the unequivocal statements by the independent auditor and management in the annual report in 10K, I submit that it cannot plausibly be argued that that determination was clearly unreasonable or unlawful.
Mr. Farron, which statements were altered as of February 1?
The income statement and the balance sheet, both of the financial statements. If you look at note 3 to the financial statements, they specifically state, we are adjusting the balance sheet as of February 1st, 1992 to reflect Fresh Start reporting, and then you look to the balance sheet and those adjustments are included in there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Farron. Mr. Steinis.
Good morning. The core issue presented to the Board of Tax Appeals when this case was before the board, excuse me. The core issue involved the date on which Federated Department Stores first adopted Fresh Start reporting. As you've heard, the commissioner points to certain passages in the company's annual report in support of the argument that occurred on February 1st. For its part, Federated offered the testimony of 4 witnesses, and it introduced 17 exhibits to establish what it knew to be the case, and that is that Fresh Start reporting was adopted on February 4th. The Board of Tax Appeals considered all of the evidence in the record and sided with Federated. Specifically, they concluded that Fresh Start reporting was adopted on February 4th and that the balance sheet included as part of the 1993 Ohio Franchise Tax Report accurately and properly reflected the books and records of the company as of February 1st, the date on which the net value of the company was to be determined for franchise tax purposes.
And was all of that evidence included in the evidence before the tax commissioner?
Absolutely.
Including the balance sheet that you just referred to?
Yes.
Thank you.
The issue before this court is somewhat different than that presented to the Board of Tax Appeals. You're called upon to determine whether or not the board's decision was reasonable or lawful, given the evidence in the record. Now, the commissioner has a different take on this standard of review. Citing the Hatch-Dorian case and the Alcan case, the board or the commissioner argues that unless his determination is clearly unreasonable and unlawful, it should have been affirmed. But that's not what those cases say. A determination made by the tax commissioner is presumed to be valid unless it is clearly unreasonable and unlawful, in which case there's no presumption in the first place. Assuming the presumption is intact, the determination of the tax commissioner is entitled to be affirmed unless the presumption is rebutted by some evidence presented by the taxpayer. When that occurs, as it has in this case, the relative merits of each party's case is evaluated by the board and the board makes a decision. When that decision is presented to this court for review, the standard of review is the determination rendered by the board supported by the evidence in the record?
And so, you said some evidence, if there's some evidence contrary, which you offered some evidence, it's your position that the finding of the tax commissioner is entitled to no presumption of validity before the Board of Tax Appeals?
Well, no. It's entitled to a presumption of validity, but as soon as it's rebutted, as it was in this case, that presumption falls and each party's arguments stand or fall on their merits.
So if you offer any evidence going the other way,
any probative evidence, that's the language.
Then the tax commissioner has
got a previous case.
It's a jump ball at
that's
that
right.
Point.
But the tax commissioner had you said the tax commissioner had everything that you then presented to the BTA. So wasn't it...
Maybe I misunderstood your
question.
That
was my first question.
The tax commissioner has all the information contained in what is referred to as the statutory transcript. That included, I believe, the annual report in Form 10-K, which is the document he principally relied on. It probably didn't have, at that point in time, all the balance sheets and the other 17 exhibits that were introduced during the course of the board's hearing.
So this contradicts your first answer, then. They were not the same. The evidentiary material was not the same before the tax commissioner and then the BTA. You presented more evidence to the BTA.
That's correct. That's what occurs in every case.
What was the evidence, the rebuttal that you presented specifically?
With regard to the date on which Fresh Start reporting was first adopted, we presented the testimony of Jack Brown, who was a senior vice president and controller of Federated in 1992, the person principally responsible for the company's accounting function. We also presented the testimony of Dave Middendorf, a KPMG partner, and the person principally responsible for auditing the books and records of Federated. Both gentlemen, who incidentally had a hand in authoring the language that the tax commissioner relies on, testified that the company adopted Fresh Start reporting on February 4th. Moreover, they testified that it would have been impermissible under generally accepted accounting principles to have adopted it any sooner. Their testimony was corroborated by that of Professor Grant Newton, who is one of the principal authors of Statement of Position 90-7, which addresses Fresh Start reporting issues. Professor Newton testified that Fresh Start reporting can't be adopted until all material conditions preceding have been satisfied. Frank Julian, another vice president of Federated, testified, and he's their tax counsel, testified that certain events, which Professor Newton identified as material conditions preceding, had not occurred until as late as February 3rd. And these are not arbitrary events. These are the deconsolidation of the Ralph's grocery store chain from the Federated affiliated group.
But that testimony is contradicted by the published financial statements, which had been released to the shareholders and others prior to February 1st, indicating that as the date for the Fresh Start reporting.
I don't believe it is. It's a question of interpretation. The statements in the annual report in Form 10-K do indeed say that Federated adopted Fresh Start reporting as of, not on, but as of February 1st, 1992. You can't read those that statement in a vacuum, though. In context, they say and they convey a different message, or at least were intended to convey a different message. The annual report in Form 10-K also state that the company emerged from bankruptcy on February 4th.
Did they intend to say February 1st, 92, or was that a mistake and it should have been February 4th, 92?
It wasn't a mistake. It was perhaps a less than explicit or precise...
That would not have been the date chosen. Is that correct?
It's not a question of the date. The explanation would be more thorough. What they intended to convey is that the historic balance sheet set forth in the annual report reflected the books and records of the company after the adoption of Fresh Start reporting, which occurred on February 4th. Now, did they say that as artfully as one would hope? Absolutely not. They could have been much more explicit. But let me flesh this out a bit. Statement of Position 90-7 and Auditing Standard 560 required Federated to disclose in its annual report the fact that they adopted Fresh Start reporting on February 4th. It doesn't dictate how they're to go about doing that, the method of presentation. And Federated thought it had two options. It could set forth in the body of the annual report as its historic balance sheet, a balance sheet based on the books and records of the company as of February 1st, and report in the notes to the balance sheet a pro forma based on the books and records as of February 4th after the adoption of Fresh Start reporting. Alternatively, they could set forth in the body of the annual report an historic balance sheet based on the books and records as of February 4th and relegate to the notes the February 1st balance sheet. It's important to note that whichever option they selected, the historic balance sheet set forth in the body of the annual report was going to refer to a fiscal year ending February 1st. That's a requirement of the SEC. It's not as if they could have put February 4th over the caption on the balance sheet. Now,
so where in the notes was the reflection that it was actually February 4th and not February 1st?
Justice Pfeiffer, there is no explicit statement to that effect. It's the combination of this of the
well,
two statements.
Then isn't it a little large for you to say they could have been more explicit? They were explicit. They said this is fresh start accounting as of February 1st, and they didn't say anything else. There is no footnote. There is nothing that they gave in their annual report to shareholders or to the SEC, and I take it they never amended that.
They didn't amend it because it would have been improper to have amended it. Again, and it's not an accurate statement to say there's nothing in the annual report. There are plenty of indications that the balance sheet set forth on page F4 of the annual report, that's the historic balance sheet that the commissioner relies on, is a balance sheet that reflects the books and records of the company as of February 4th. If you look at footnote 3.
Where would that be? Footnote 3.
On page F8 of the annual report is the note that sets forth the pro forma. Footnote 3 indicates that some of the adjustments, that's a page that begins with one column, the February 1st numbers, and works its way to the February 4th numbers. Footnote 3 describes one of the adjustments, one of the columns of adjustments that relates to Fresh Start reporting, and it explicitly states that those amounts reflect certain events that occurred as of the effective date. That's a defined term, effective date, and it's February 4th.
Does it mention February 4th?
It doesn't say that it used February 4th, but if you read
Man,
what
you,
it says and
you
apply
just,
it.
You just keep stretching what's
well,
there. I mean, the people, there's a purpose for annual reports, and there's a purpose for SEC filings, and it's to put everybody on notice. What are the true conditions?
Well, with regard to that, Your Honor, I mentioned the company adopted the second alternative, and the reason they did it is as follows, and it will get to your point. The recipients of the annual report, which came out in May 1992, had no ownership interest in the company as of February 1st, so it was thought that it would be of no value to them to highlight the February 1st numbers. That's the reason they chose the second alternative. But they wanted to make sure that they were on firm ground when they did that, so they took the precautionary step of corresponding with the SEC and saying, this is the method of presentation we're contemplating. Do you have any problems with it? The SEC had no problems
did
with it.
Did that correspondence mention the disjunctive between the February 1st and the February 4th
dates? What it says on the second page, it's Exhibit 11, what it says in the top paragraph on the second page is that the historic balance sheet becomes effective on February 5th, so to the day after February 4th. So to the extent you're going to have any reference other than February 1st, that's where you would find it. That's one place at least where you would find it. But I think this all gets a little bit far afield because what we've been discussing is a question of interpretation. And the Board of Tax Appeals had the opportunity to review all the witness, all the evidence, consider the credibility of all the witnesses, and they came down in favor of Federated. Having evaluated all that information, this court has often said, you don't sit as a super board of tax appeals. Time after time after time you've written, you're not here to reweigh evidence or reevaluate the credibility of witnesses. If there's evidence in the record that supports the conclusion drawn by the board, that decision is to be affirmed. That's clearly what we have in this case. We have two of the authors of the language that we've been talking about saying, this is what we meant to convey. Maybe we didn't do a very good job of conveying it, but that doesn't change the fact that the balance sheet that the commissioner would have you use is a balance sheet that reflects February 4th numbers.
Well, that's, but those people also have an enormous financial interest in the outcome of $50 tax versus
well, as a matter of fact, they don't.
And a half
the
million.
Witnesses was the witness for the company had been retired for several years. David Middendorf was with KPMG. I hesitate to think that he's going to perjure himself to accommodate a client. Grant Newton, who independently evaluated the information, the annual report, independently concluded that the numbers
were
February
4th. It's not perjury to say, well, what we really meant to do or what we really meant to
That's
reflect.
Not what they said. They said that the February, that the balance sheet that the commissioner would rely on reflects the books and records as of February 4th. They didn't say we meant to say something else and now we're changing our mind. It's just a question of interpretation of the language. And again, they could have done a better job, but that doesn't
change. But Mr. Farron has pointed out that the financial statements, the income statement and the balance sheet were adjusted to reflect Fresh Start beginning as of February 1st, 92. And he references note three.
Note three of what?
Is that accurate?
Well, let me say it this way. On February 1st, there were certain entries in the books and records of the company.
Yes.
On February 4th, Fresh Start reporting was adopted, and as a consequence, the February 1st numbers were changed on February 4th to reflect, you know, the revised numbers. That's what occurred. There was never any amendment of the February 1st numbers. They were then, and they are now, what they were on February 1st. The February 4th numbers are now what they were on February 4th. And that is the date on which Fresh Start reporting was first adopted. And it's as simple as that. It's a question of interpretation of the evidence in this case. And again, you know, I've said it twice already, I'll say it a third time. They could have been more explicit or done a better job of explaining the message they were intending to convey. But that doesn't change the basic fact, which is that the historic balance sheet set forth in the company's annual report reflects the books and records of the company as of February 4th. That's what they want you to rely on. Whereas the balance sheet included as part of the company's 1993 Ohio franchise tax report reflected the books and records of the company as of February 1st, which is the critical date, the date it's supposed to reflect the books and records. The board found, as a matter of fact, that that was all done properly.
With an annual report was issued the next year, and it...
No, it was issued in May. It was issued in May of 1992.
No, but the next year. And it would reflect... There would be a comparison.
I'm not clear. There was only one annual report in the record. It's the 1991 annual report issued in May of 1992, and it reflects...
So whatever they told stockholders a year later and where those columns match up, here's where we were last year and here's where we... That's not in the record.
The next year's annual report is not.
All right.
One thing I would...
What I was getting at is that would also say this is where we were, and it would offer a date, and I was wondering...
The only evidence that addresses the point...
If that's not in the record, I don't want to...
Well, what is in the record is the balance sheet included as part of the federal income tax return for the year beginning February 5th, 1992, because once the company came out of bankruptcy, it deconsolidated. So it had a short three-year period from February 1st to February 4th where it had it was on its own, and then it had its own affiliated group beginning as of February 4th. That balance sheet reflected the Fresh Start numbers, the beginning numbers, as of February 4th, and corroborates the fact, again, that Fresh Start reporting was adopted on February 4th, and that's when the books changed. Because you've got two balance sheets filed with the federal government on February 1st and February 4th, and they say different things. Again, I would simply conclude by saying the standard of proof here is for you to consider is whether or not there's evidence in the record that supports the board's conclusion. If you find it, as I think you must, then that decision is entitled to be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Steines. Mr. Farron, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Thank you. Very briefly, as Mr. Middendorf testified, Federated Management and the independent auditors had a discussion regarding the language of Note 1, that is, whether using Fresh Start reporting as of February 1st, 1992, complied with SOP 90.7, and the language in Note 1 resulted. That's at the supplement at page 40. They looked at it, they decided as of February 1st, 1992, or complied with the SOP 90.7. There is the subsequent annual report in the record beginning at page 203 of the supplement. The amounts reflected for the prior year are under the column February 1st, 1992. They reflect the Fresh Start numbers that were also contained in the 1991 report. The report, note three, specific to the financial report, the 1991 report says the effect of the plan that is Fresh Start on the company's consolidated balance sheet as of February 1st, 1992 is as follows. They made the adjustments
Those adjustments flowed on to the certified balance sheet that are contained in the record, I believe at page 182. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perrin. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. Marshal, please adjourn the court.
All rise.